Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be probably doing at least a two-part series talking about verses, or better yet, I should say Bible verses taken out of Bible context. Now, if you're watching us on video, you can probably tell our background's a little different. The reason for that is I am not in the United States. I'm here in Croatia. Actually, we're up in an area where we are ministering to the Roma Gypsy people. We've got several missions teams here from South Florida, and so we're busy, busy, busy. But Dayan, who handles all the technology for us and who is behind the camera right now, he insisted that I do a video shoot on this particular topic, Bible verses taken out of Bible context. So we will try to do our best, even though we're away and we are in a library night right now. There's no air conditioning. Dayan tried to rig something up for me so a little bit of air can blow on me here, but we will try to do our best. Okay, so one of the Bible verses that is best known and most used, and unfortunately a Bible verse that's often taken out of Bible context, is the verse found in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know the verse where God said to his people, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, plans to give you a future and a hope." This is a verse, and I'm using the NASB version, and some of your versions may say, the translation may say, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Well, this verse, taken by itself, is a verse that many people teach incorrectly, where they say, as long as you believe in the Lord promises to you, believer, he knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And this verse is taught, it is mistaught, saying that if you have enough faith in the Lord, you will attract from the Lord health, wealth, everything your heart desires. Because God doesn't want you to experience anything difficult or anything challenging. He doesn't want to see you be harmed. He knows the plans he has for you, and they're good and wonderful plans, and you're going to be so happy and so joyful because God wants to prosper you. Have you ever heard that verse taught that way? And because of that, you see this verse on bumper stickers. You see this verse taped on people's computers, this verse taped on their mirrors at home, in their cars. And people are constantly claiming this verse, claiming, quote, claiming, unquote. They're claiming this verse as their life's verse, saying, as long as I believe this, as long as I keep declaring this, as long as I keep claiming this, God will prosper me. God will not allow harm to come to me. because God knows the plans He has for me. And He's going to give me a wonderful hope and future. Well, it's true that God knows the plans He has for you. And it's true that God wants to bless His people. That God wants to give His people a hope and a future. But it's not true that God will not allow His people to deal with any difficulties, problems. That God will not allow them to experience any harm or suffering. In fact, from one end of the Bible to the other, we see that God will use harm, God will use suffering for the good of His people and for the glory of His name. So, this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, why is this verse so often taught incorrectly? Again, when you take a Bible verse out of its Bible context, you come up with a pretext. In other words, you can make that verse say anything you want it to say. And it's a deception. Let me show you what I mean. Let's try to understand the context here. After King David and King Solomon, great kings in the nation of Israel, and at that time the nation of Israel was the united kingdom, 12 tribes of Israel. Well, after David's reign and then after Solomon's reign, the once united kingdom of Israel was divided. You had the northern kingdom, composed of 10 tribes, and you had the southern kingdom, composed of 2 tribes. Well, the northern kingdom started to really go off the rails. They disobeyed God. They ignored the prophets sent by God. They wanted nothing to do with God. Well, eventually God raised up the pagan Assyrians to be God's instrument to bring discipline and punishment on God's people, the northern kingdom. And in 722 BC, the Assyrians came, destroyed the northern kingdom, and took the people into exile, leaving the southern kingdom by itself now. You would think that the southern kingdom, after seeing that what happened to her sister, the northern kingdom, you would think the southern kingdom, the people there would have listened, they would have learned. You would think that the priests, the prophets, the kings would have said, oh, we need to submit to God. We need to obey God. We need to live for God and His glory. You would think that they would have learned the lesson, right? No, they were actually even worse than the northern tribes. And as a result, starting in 605 BC, God brought the pagan Babylonians, led by their pagan king, King Nebuchadnezzar. God brought the Babylonians to exact discipline and punishment on the southern kingdom. And in 3 waves, the Babylonians destroyed the southern kingdom. 605 BC was the first wave, where Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed part of Judah, and took people into exile. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were part of that group taken away in the first wave in 605 BC. Next wave, 597 BC. Babylonians again destroyed more of Judah, took more people into exile, including the prophet Ezekiel. And then the final and third wave was in 586 BC, where Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians completely destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the Lord's temple, destroyed the walls, and took more people into exile. Well, while the people of the southern kingdom were in exile, some of the false prophets who were also in exile with them, the false prophets who, before Jerusalem fell, kept saying to the people, you don't need to repent. You don't need to worry about it. There's peace, peace. God's going to show you mercy. Jeremiah's preaching and saying, no, you need to repent. These false prophets saying, no, everything's going to be okay. Well, didn't turn out okay. Jerusalem fell. Well, now these false prophets are in exile with the southern kingdom. And again, they're saying to the people, don't sweat it. God got a little upset with us, but God's forgiving. He's going to forget in a short while. And don't worry. you're going to be sent back to Jerusalem in a very short time. Well, there was a problem with that, because God had said through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 25, verse 12, God said, you're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And when 70 years are completed, God said through Jeremiah, I will then punish the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and his descendants, and I will punish that nation, Babylon, for their iniquity, and I'll punish the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. And God said, I will bring my people back out of exile. But it was going to happen, not overnight. It was going to happen after 70 years of God's discipline, of God's chastening on his people. And so, in Jeremiah 29, where we see that verse where God says, I know the plans I have for you, we see here in chapter 29, God was so upset with the false prophets who kept telling the people in exile, don't worry, you're coming home tomorrow. God said to Jeremiah, you write a letter in my name, my words, and you send this to the exiles. And we get the contents of this letter. Verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here's the letter. This is what the Lord said. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Wait a second. Doesn't sound like God is saying they're leaving overnight, does it? God said, take wives. Become the fathers of sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there in Babylon. And don't increase. Kind of sounded like God was saying to the people, you're staying there for a while. Discipline and chastening will not be completed overnight. Verse 7, God said to them, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. God is saying to his people in exile, you pray for the Babylonians. You pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, God blessing the Babylonians, you will have welfare. He says to his people, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't it interesting when you understand this verse in its proper context? You go, huh. This is not a blanket promise where God is saying, if you just claim this verse and believe it, all kinds of blessings and prosperity have to come to you from God. No. Think of the context. What was God saying to his people right before he said, I know the plans I have for you? God said, settle into Babylon. You're staying there for 70 years. God's discipline, God's chastening, was going to last that long. But God said, I know the plans I have for you. And part of those plans were to discipline and chasten his people. I know the plans I have for you. Not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But God's people had so disobeyed God and his prophets, God said, it's going to take 70 years. And then I'll bring you back. For God said in verse 12, then you'll call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Kind of give you a clearer understanding of the verse where God says, I know that I have the plans for you. Oh yeah, God wants to bless you. As a child of God, saved by the grace of God, you're in the family of God, of course God wants to bless you. God will use His Word to bless you. God will use prayer to bless you. God will use the fellowship you have with God's people to bless you. God will use worship. God will use the means of the Lord's Supper. God will use many things to bring about blessings to you, including, listen carefully, pain, suffering, discipline, and chastisement. Because we all need it, don't we? Don't worry, Christian. God knows the plans He has for you. He's going to give you a hope and a future. But that doesn't mean, Christian, you're going to have smooth sailing down here on earth. The true hope, the true future, is when you arrive home and you're standing face to face with your Lord. Then you will see Him as He is, and then you will be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ, right? That's God's goal for you. That's the true wealth God wants to give you. That's the true prosperity God wants to give you. He wants to conform you into the image and likeness of His beloved Son. He knows the plans He has for you. And sometimes it's going to take a long time where God needs to discipline you and me. Where He needs to chastise us, cleanse us, purify us. And yes, where God even has to crush us. But don't worry, Christian. He knows the plans He has for you. Do you understand the context? And again, when a Bible verse is taken out of its Bible context, you have a pretext, a deception. And I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from people who were incorrectly taught this verse. They were certain, as long as they believed that verse and claimed that verse, they believed no harm would come their way. They believed nothing but prosperity would come their way. And then when harm did come their way, they had no category as to how to understand that. Wait a second. I thought God promised me that He would only prosper me and not let any harm come my way. Wait a second. How come I'm dealing with physical affliction right now? Why am I dealing with financial affliction? Why am I dealing with relational affliction? Why? Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with God and His Word? Do you see the danger? Pulling a Bible verse out of its Bible context. Do you see the danger that it can eventually cause a problem with? And by the way, just so you understand, this context where God said, I know the plans I have for you. Who was God saying that to? His people, Southern Kingdom, whom He had sent into exile in Babylon. God was not saying that verse to you and me, right? He was saying that verse to His people there. Now, you can take the principles of that verse and draw on them for your life, but you have to understand that God inspired these words through the prophet Jeremiah to a specific people during a specific time dealing with a specific issue. God did not inspire Jeremiah 29:11 through the prophet Jeremiah first and foremost for you and me, right? And again, that's why it is so critical that before you try to take a verse or a couple verses and before you try to apply them to your life, you first have to understand what God meant by what God said to those people back then in that particular context, right? So instead of saying, reading a verse where it says, the Lord says he knows the plans he has for me, and that means to me, no. Before you get to that point, you first have to go back and say, what did that verse mean to them back then? That means you have to understand the historical context. Who was Jeremiah? Why did God raise him up to write to God's people who were in exile? Why were they in exile? When did they go in exile? Who sent them there? Well, what's this deal about 70 years? Was that just an arbitrary number? A round number? What's the deal there? Why did God say 70 years? And then why did God say to them, don't worry, I know the plans I have for you. You need to first understand what God was saying to those people back then and why. And once you understand the original context, once you understand the original audience, once you understand the original situation or circumstance that was going on back then and only then can you take some principles from there and apply them to yourself today. Make sense? Get out of the habit of reading a verse and immediately saying, this verse means to me, blah, 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 blah. That's the wrong way to interpret Scripture. And that is taking a Bible verse out of its biblical context and making it a pretext. Because if you take a Bible verse out of its biblical context, it's like Martin Luther said, it's like taking a clay nose and just shaping it, twisting it, turning it, and making it into anything you want. And the unfortunate reality today is you see that happening so much in churches, where sermons are being preached, or better yet, let me clarify that, talks are being given, where it's all about a particular theme that the preacher or the elders or even the congregation has decided on. And the theme is driving the message rather than the text of Scripture. And then because the theme is the key rather than the text, what ends up happening is, in order to kind of sanctify that message a little bit, the preacher will take a verse from here, boom, put it there in the theme. Take another verse from here, boom, put it in the theme. Take a verse from here, take a verse from there. And you've got three or four verses all jammed into this theme. Three or four verses where the original context is not being taught, the original audience is not being taught, the original language is not being taught, the original circumstances are not being taught, and therefore these verses are just being yanked out of their biblical context, jammed into whatever theme the preacher wants to preach, and the people walk away thinking they learned the Bible. They didn't learn the Bible. They just heard a couple verses. Take it out of context. And suddenly, because those verses just seem to fit so perfectly with what the preacher said today, it's amazing. Why does it they fit so perfectly? Because he jammed them in. And he had to twist them and shape them like that clay nose to make them fit perfectly into his theme. And he shapes and twists that verse. And he teaches it in a way that is completely opposite as to how God inspired. Why? Because if you take a biblical verse out of its biblical context, you will have a pretext. So think about how you've been studying the Bible lately. Think about the sermons you've been listening to lately. Are you first being taught the context? Do you clearly understand what God meant by what God said to those people back then? If not, you're putting yourself in harm's way. And you're setting yourself up for deception. Christian, be diligent to study God's word. Dig into it deeply. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the illumination to understand that which God meant by that which God said to those people back then. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.